something from the government, and I always tell them, don't lie. Don't lie to the government. Don't lie to nobody. But everything you can possibly get out of them, Lee, you ought to get it, because they're full of the devil and using their money for the wrong thing. Now, I don't feel a bit guilty about saying that. Get them for every dime you can, amen, and use it for the Lord. All right. Let's open the Bible to Galatians. Send my mic up here, Brother Sean. It's by somebody. Somebody get that for me right quick. Galatians chapter 3 tonight. We're going to the book of Galatians chapter 3. Now, last Wednesday night, there's a bunch of you laid out, so I'm going to have to back up just a little bit. Oh, I'm telling you, it's snowing hard. You couldn't see. You couldn't even see the road out there, the interstate. We are going to go over a little bit about what I talked about last Wednesday night real fast, though, and try to move along here. We're in some doctrine here now in the book of Galatians, and I hope that you'll get it. The Bible's not just to bless you. The Bible is to teach you. And the Bible's not just always to instruct you. Sometimes it's to rebuke you. Sometimes it's to encourage you. Sometimes it's to straighten you out. And here in this scripture, basically what we're seeing here in Galatians chapter 3 is that Paul the Apostle, when he got saved, God called him to preach to Gentiles. You've got to get this in your head. All they had known up until now was Jew. The message, God's blessing, was to and upon Jew. So all of a sudden the Lord says, all right, we're going to start preaching to Gentiles now. So this is one of them Gentile churches, Galatia, the church at Galatia, and they call them Galatian. Like we're in America, and we're called Americans. They're from Galatia, and he called them Galatians. And we told you the meaning of those words and all of that kind of stuff to start with. But let's look at chapter 3 tonight, and verse 1, we're going to read down several verses and basically get what he's saying. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? That's a modern word, bewitched. TV series, that means like to trick or to cast a hoax or a spell on, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes, yours, Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you. He said, y'all were around when the Lord was crucified. This only would I learn of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. I'm going to stop right there. We might go further. Well, let's back up. Hold your Bibles open and look at these verses. You can grow off stuff like this. You can grow. I believe you ought to come to church and clap our hands and have a big shouting time. Then you got to get some meat out of this book to grow on. He starts out saying, foolish Galatians. The reason he calls them foolish Galatians is somebody had got in there and told these people that they were saved by the grace of God, but also had to keep the law in order to be justified in the sight of God. And this whole chapter here is basically telling them, look, you didn't do nothing to get saved, but believe. You don't do nothing to stay saved. You're saved by faith. You receive the miracles by faith. You receive the power by faith. Everything by faith. Why would you start thinking that you have to work in order to get some kind of something from God? Basically, that's what he's saying. That's why he says, you foolish Galatians, somebody's messed with your head. Somebody has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth. And then in verse 2, he asked him his question. Said, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? That's like somebody saying, you come to the Lord and ask him to save you, and you get saved by grace through faith, but you have to live up to a certain set of standards to stay saved. What Paul's saying is, you're saved by faith, and you live for God by faith. You're saved by grace through faith, you're kept by grace through faith. You're not saved by your works, you're not kept by your works. Listen to this, you're not saved by grace and then kept by works. A lot of churches teach that. A lot of churches teach, Well, when you ask the Lord to save you, He saves you, but you got to live it. How many of you ever heard that? How many of you ever had somebody tell you, you still got to live it? Not to go to heaven, you don't. Not to be saved, you don't. The truth is, you don't live it. The truth is, nobody's ever lived it. And that's why Jesus died, because we ain't and can't and won't. Nobody's ever, quote, lived it. Now, when you start talking like that, people say, now, wait a minute, you're telling people it's all right. I didn't say it's all right to sin. You're listening to the devil. It ain't all right to sin. You sin, you pay. You sin, you reap. But it has nothing to do with your record being clear before God. You are justified by grace through faith. By grace through faith. And how did you get saved? By faith. How did you get the Spirit? By faith. Then how do you live? By faith. Basically, that's what he's saying. He said, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? And look at verse 4. Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? Evidently, these folks went through some persecution and been through some hard trials. And he said, is that a waste? You're going to mess around here and lose your joy and your victory and everything because you're trying to work to be justified? All of that suffering that you've done would be in vain. Verse 5, he therefore that ministereth the Spirit, that's a man that preaches and the Word of God and helps them and worketh miracles among you. They still had people working miracles. Doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? The obvious answer is faith. Even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now the miracles of the apostle, or had the apostolic signs. They had apostolic signs in the days of the apostle. Please be sure and get what I'm getting ready to say. A lot of times we as Baptists, we get accused. I hear them on TV, I listen to TV preachers, and they say, oh, you Baptists are all right, but you don't believe all the Word of God because you believe the days of miracles of Christ. I don't believe that, and I don't even know a Baptist that believes that. I believe God still works miracles. He does. He can. I mean, he worked one in me. The greatest of all miracles was when I got saved. The Lord can still heal. The Lord can still move mountains. The Lord still can do anything. But what we don't believe is that there are apostles walking around down on this earth right now. An apostle had to see Jesus Christ. An apostle had the sign of an apostle. If a man was an apostle, he could go over to Grace Hospital and empty it out. Right. They did. He could clean that place out. And if he can do that, buddy, I'll come up here Sunday morning and say I was wrong. But he ain't going to do it. They ain't going to do it. They can't do it. Now, the Lord can do it. The Lord can heal. The Lord does heal. How many of y'all have heard this week, I've had two or three people ask me in the last couple of days about this reality show about this preacher, and that snake-handling preacher got snake-bitten dies. Have y'all heard about that? Everybody's talking about it this week. They've been filming some reality show up in Kentucky, and this preacher puts copperheads and stuff on his head and was dancing around. It showed it on the news all day long a couple of days ago. All day. You know they would. Now, you want me to tell you what that is? That's a man that don't understand his Bible, and then that's a wicked, demon-led news media putting it on the news all day to make the world think Christians are crazy. And over and over and over, I saw them on HLN the other night, and they said, you cannot take the Bible literally. See what happens to people who take the Bible literally. And I thought, you're the craziest people. Y'all don't need to be on there teaching the Bible. They don't need to be Bible teachers. Listen, when the Lord made that statement of Mark chapter 16, he was talking to them 11 apostles, and he said, you're going to go out, and you're going to get converts, and if you drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt you, and you'll pick up serpents. To them, 11 men. And Paul did that in Acts chapter 28, and a viper got on him and didn't hurt him. That was fulfillment of that scripture. Nowhere are we told to bring snakes in the church and play with them to show our faith. You see how ignorant the people on the news are, and see how ignorant the preacher was. He's ignorant too. And I didn't say it wasn't sincere. That'd be an awful way to go to heaven. He just was, hey Lord, how'd you get here? Well, I got snake bit. Didn't you tell me to do that? Lord said, I never told you to do no such thing. I told them apostles, and you tried to act like you were, if you was one of them, it wouldn't hurt you. That's what the Lord told that old boy when he got home. Amen? God done been bit 9 times. Did y'all hear that? Isn't that what somebody said? The guy had been bitten 9 times. I'm like Billy Kelly. They asked old Billy Kelly one time about the snake. He said, they're bringing out the snakes. He said, where's the back door? And they said, we ain't got one. He said, where you want one? He said, well, there's a brother. How sick. Reckon she buried that with him? How sick. If you really love your wife, you'll cut off one of your fingers and leave it, give it to her. He said, the man that works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law? Or by the hearing of faith? Obviously, by the hearing of faith. Man worked a miracle. He done it by calling on God and believing in the Lord. And if we see a miracle in our church, we've had people healed. Brother Derek was healed of cancer several years ago. Miss Sue was healed of cancer. We have 2 people in our church that healed cancer. And we have people all the time the Lord touches. Sometimes people get straightened out and God works miracles for them. Praise God. Hallelujah. But that's not by their works. It's by their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now here we go where it starts getting messy with some of the churches in the world. Here's where they start going back and saying, oh, we're Abraham's children, so all them promises that God made to the Jews now become spiritually upon us. And that is not true. Every promise God made to literal, visible, physical, Jewish, Israel and Palestine still holds to literal, visible, physical Palestine. That's called British Israelism, Israelitism. And that is called that because Garner Ted Armstrong, his daddy, Herbert W. Armstrong, they all taught that we are spiritual Israel. And a lot of these preachers on TV preaching this kingdom gospel are guilty of the same thing. They say the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. Well, God can give us victory and stuff, but that's a promise to Israel back in Deuteronomy 28. You can't claim riches and say all the Christians are supposed to be rich. How many of you heard them preachers get on TV and say, I curse poverty. I bind the curse of poverty on your head. You know what he's saying? You're supposed to get a lot of money and not be poor no more. Well, according to that, all them Christians in Sudan and South Africa must be living like the devil. Because they ain't got a dime in their name. And Jesus didn't have a place to lay his head. So he must have been not right, right? No, you can't. Take the promises God made to Israel and apply them to Christians in the New Testament, Age of Grace. Now, you can use them spiritually as long as you don't contradict a church doctrine. Example, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their way, they're talking to Israel. But we use that and can preach that to Gentile congregation because it's true in the church age. But saying we're going to break the back of poverty and everybody's going to get rich is not a church doctrine. Amen? That's right. And you can't do that. He said Abraham believed God and he got right. Abraham believed God and God justified him. This is going to boil down to this, people. You're no good. Hell yeah. The best you can do will wind you up in hell. You're no good. There's none good, no, not one. Now, if you want to get in trouble, go preach this to a big shot downtown church. Say this. You are no good, people. Imagine getting up in the First Baptist Church of most cities and getting up and saying, people, ain't none of you is no good. Lord, they'd have a heart attack. The best you can do will wind you up in hell. Unless you find a perfect substitute to pay for your sins, you're as good as hell as the door shut was on behind you right now. You're as good as already there. The road to hell is paved with good intention. And trying your best will wind you up with whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and liars of the ages gone by. Your only hope is to accept a free gift, and you can earn it. and you can't never pay it back, and all you got to do is accept it and thank God for it. That's what he's trying to say to these people. That's what he's trying to say to these people. Even as Abraham believed God. Look at verse number 7. Now look at this. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Now, this word gets hairy, scary sort of, because it says there were the children of Abraham. But they're spiritual children of Abraham, not literal. As far as I know, they ain't none of us literal children of Abraham. Is there anybody in here Jewish? I ain't. None of us are literal, physical children of Abraham. The Jews. And Abraham was the first Jew. And the Jews began with him. And you know what he did? He's over there praying. That's how it all got started. And his nephew was down there in Sodom. And Sodom and Gomorrah, you know how messed up that was. And God said, I'm going to destroy that city. And Abraham said, Lord, please don't do that. If I find 50 righteous people, will you spare it? And the Lord said, all right, I'll spare it. And Abraham said, how about 40? If I find 45, 40. And the Lord said, all right, I'll hold off if you can find 40. And he said, don't get mad at me, Lord. What if I can only find 30? See him Jewing God down? That's where it come from. That's where it come. And they still do it today. He Jewed the Lord. When you can Jew the Lord, brother, you a Jew. He Jewed him down from 50 to 10. That's the kind of man you want buying your car for you. That's the kind of man. That's why they say you can take a Jew. And I don't mean this disrespectfully. I honor them. And set them out on the street corner and come back a week later and he'll own the department store. God has blessed them. Orientals, dark-skinned people, to be able to make money. And son, they can do it. They can smell it. They can smell money. They prosper in this world. And a Jew can make money. And they can do it. I mean, that's why they're buying up all the convenience stores, not their kinfolks. They're buying up all the restaurants. They're buying up the motels. Some of them weird ones are buying up the motels. And they're not all Jews. They're from Ishmael. They're Muslims and stuff like that. They said if you marry one of them women with that red dot on their head, you scratch that off, see if you win a convenience store or a motel. But anyway, look at verse 7. Look at verse 7. Know ye therefore, should have said that. They which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Verse 8. I want to show you something here, y'all. Look at verse 8. This blessed me today when I study. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, that's us, through faith. The Scripture, it said the Scripture could see. It said the Scripture could see. You see how close the Scripture and God are together. He almost uses them terms interchangeably. The Scripture foreseeing the future. The Scripture foreseeing that God will justify the heathen. Preached before the gospel unto Abraham. The Scripture saw the future. And the Scripture preached the gospel. And that's why the Lord said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's why you don't want to mess with this Scripture. I don't mess with it. I trust God got us the Scripture as He wanted us to have it. I'm not going to mess with it. I'd a whole lot rather stand before God and the Lord say, well, you preached this wrong, Danny, and I say, why, Lord, that's what it said. I'd a whole lot rather be guilty of that than I would be changing it and getting up there and he'll say, why'd you change my word? Amen? If this is wrong, it ain't going to be my fault. I'm going to preach it just like it says it. And somebody else is going to give an account for changing it. I believe that God has honored this old King James Bible through hundreds of years of preaching and put his stamp of approval. I know there's some very famous, well-loved-like preachers that use other versions of the Bible. I'm not being critical of them, but I'm telling you, them guys are jerking your foundation out from under you. And if you're not careful, little by little, you'll begin to think, Well, it's not really that bad, and it's not really bad. It just changes a little bit here and there. You don't want a Bible that takes the blood of Jesus out. You don't want a Bible that says Jesus was Joseph's son in Luke 2:33. You don't want a Bible that takes the Trinity out of 1 John 5:7. And you don't want a Bible that takes God's son out of Daniel 3:25. You don't want that. I don't care how great a man is. I don't care how big his church is. You don't want a Bible that leaves the blood out in Colossians 1 and those other places. So tonight, he said the Scripture would foresee it. That's shouting ground to me. The Scripture foreseen. The Scripture done a telescope job there and seen down through the years. All right, let's look at it. Chapter 3, verse number 9. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. We get the spiritual blessings that Abraham got, and which are what? Imputed righteousness and justification. What does imputed righteousness mean? It means this. Here's a sinner right here. This little skinny guy, he's a sinner. All right? He's full of the devil and he's wicked. Here's Jesus Christ. His record is clear and perfect. He deserves to go to hell. But when he believes on Jesus, God takes Christ's righteousness and puts it on him. That's imputed. That's imputation. He imputes his righteousness to that sinner. And that's why the world looks at us and says, who do y'all think you are? You ain't no better than us. That's true. We're not. The world sees our faults and says, well, you're supposed to be a Christian. Yeah, we are. We try by the grace of God. But I want to tell you something, brother. When the Lord sees us, he don't see us like the world sees us. He sees us perfect, imputed righteousness of God's Son, just like he did Abraham. Amen? You know, the world never lets you forget your past. They'll bring it up. They'll throw it up. They'll, I remember when you done this, and I remember when you done that, and I remember. But the Lord ain't like that. He imputes righteousness to you without works. Without works. I'm telling you what, that'd make a dead Presbyterian holler hallelujah if that ever got a hold of you just right. That's right. It'll do it. You get the spiritual blessings, not the literal, visible blessings of Abraham. Don't mean you're going to be rich. Don't mean you're going to drive a new car. Don't mean you're going to never get sick. It means you have the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ on your record. And I'd rather have that any day of the week than have a new car and a new house and good health. Because something's going to kill you either way. I don't care how healthy you are. Something's going to take you out. So you'd be better off to have that imputed righteousness. Verse number 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Under a curse. If a man's trying to get to heaven by keeping the law, he's cursed. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not all things which are written in the book of law to do them. Isn't that something? If a man's trying to work, it's an insult to God for a religion to teach, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do that before God will have anything to do with you. That's an insult. That's a slap in the face. Why? Next time somebody says, you got to do this, you got to do that before you get to heaven, ask them a question. Why did Jesus die on the cross? If you could live right enough to go to heaven, he would have never died. The reason he died, because you couldn't. I couldn't. He died, thank God, in my place. And I know I'm doing all talking. If you want to say something, raise your hand. We'll have a little talk. If you don't, I'm going on. Number 10, for as many as are... Rags for riches. Yes, sir, bro. Yes, sir. That's imputed righteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. And we can shout about that, folks. We can shout about that. You know what? We fail the Lord all the time. And sometimes you'll come to church and you'll raise your hand and the devil will say, you hypocrite. Look at you raising your hand after what you said to your wife or after what you did to your mom and dad. And you should repent when you do something wrong to your wife, your family. But listen, that ain't got nothing to do with our justification before God. We're shouting because our name's written in heaven. I come tonight, I can raise my hand and say, glory to God. Now, I have spent the day with the Lord today. You know, I fast on Wednesday, and I ain't had the TV on. I've been praying and in that book and praying extra for the youth rally all day today. I've been praying, but I ain't been perfect. I've been a long way from it. The best you can do ain't good enough. But I can shout hallelujah for what he's done. Hallelujah for what he's done. Let's go on and get verse number 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Paul takes that quotation from Habakkuk chapter 2 over there, and it changes it just a little bit. In the Old Testament, it said the just shall live by his faith. Paul quotes it and said the just shall live by faith. Probably two ways of saying the same thing, unless it might be their faith more in the Old Testament and by just plain faith in the New. I don't know. But he leaves out his. Look at verse number 12. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. That means it's one or the other. It can't be both. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Do you notice that? Cursed is everyone that's hung on a tree. That's why we don't put a lot of crosses and stuff around in here. Did you know a cross is a sign of a curse? Now, we thank God for what happened on that cross. But we don't worship crosses. We don't wear a cross around our neck. And, you know, when somebody, we don't come doing like this at them, you know, and throwing water on it. It's a bunch of stupid stuff. That's a bunch of Catholic mythology and superstition. There is no power in a piece of wood like that. It's what happened on that cross and the one that died on that cross. He said, matter of fact, Jesus was made a curse for us. Cross is the same thing as an electric chair or a gas chamber. It was a way to kill people. And it's what happened on that cross that made it blessed and wonderful and we cherish. 39 stripes he took. Now, the Lord, they say, took 39 stripes. They beat them in the Old Testament, and they had a law. You couldn't hit somebody but 40 times when you beat them, so they would stop at 39. And we assume 39 stripes. There's 39 books in the Old Testament. And the last word of the Old Testament is curse. It ends with a curse. I'll smite the earth with a curse. 39 books in the Old Testament. The cross. Don't ever do this before you go, why do you want to curse yourself? That's crazy, brother. There ain't no such foolishness as that in the Bible. You want to ask the Lord to bless you. Amen? You don't want to put a curse sign on yourself. Cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. So, he was made a curse for us. That's why we see him up on the cross. He was made a curse in our place. Verse 14, this will be the last one I'll stop. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. What's that? Justification by faith through grace through Jesus Christ that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now remember, the blessings of Abraham that we Gentiles get are imputed righteousness and justification. We don't get the promises that we own that land over there. That was to his physical children. We are spiritual children of Abraham. Can y'all get that difference there? Can you get that? Can you see the difference? When a man gets on TV and he says, the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just, and we're going to claim our wealth. He has no clue in the world what he's talking about. That is not a verse to a New Testament Christian. All right? Help me out here right quick. We'll say, help me out here right quick. Any comment? Now, you getting it now? You getting it? He's writing these Galatians, and he's saying, look, you are justified in the sight of God by what Christ did for you on the cross, and the blessing of Abraham, the spiritual blessings that God gave Abraham, are now on you. Amen? Justification and imputation. And I'm going to preach on them. There's some of the greatest words ever in Christianity in an I-O-N. I'll preach a series on them one of these days. You mentioned redemption, adoption, justification, imputation, sanctification, all that. None of that stuff's in a lot of them new modern versions of the Bible. You lose all that. That's some of the greatest doctrine of the Christian church is those words, adoption, I-O-N. Anybody? Right quick, before we go. All right. There is no glory ahead of suffering. Jesus suffered. He suffered there in verse 14. He suffered that we could live. He died so I could live. There's always suffering before glory. Jesus suffered and then went into his glory. I'm excited about the youth rally because we're going to do some stuff about Jesus. And Easter Sunday this year is the Sunday before the youth rally. It's been a long time since it worked out like that. We've got Sunday and then youth rally. I don't know if anybody can tell me, is the kids out of school that week or the week before? No. 2 weeks? What about all them snow days? Yeah. Oh, okay. I know what they said. They was asking on TV the other day. They said, how do parents feel? Man, they didn't even ask us how we felt when I went to school. They just did what they thought the principal said to do, and you shut up and liked it or not. Anybody else, right quick? We're going to pray. All right, let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for this great doctrine in the Word of God.